turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. I've been looking at some things. In the Word regarding some things regarding believing. And it's really something to stop and appreciate that, you know, God has given us everything that we need. Isn't that something that pertains unto life and godliness? Everything that we need. And we have it at our disposal. We have it to learn, we have it to grow in, we have it to stand on, and it's kind of what we heard in Manifestations, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a faithful word, and it's a faithful word because He's a faithful God. We're going to begin here in Ephesians chapter 2, and maybe you can take a ribbon and place it here. Because we're going to be leaving, and then we're going to be coming back. There is no work, there's no medicine, there's no discipline, nor is there any sacrifice that man could ever come up with to overcome the results of Adam's transgression. And what we're going to look at in the Word is a little bit about God's grace and what He has provided because of Adam's transgression. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you," and it should read, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Okay? "Wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." Children of disobedience is a reference to those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what we're going to get to here. Okay? Verse 3. "Among whom we all had our conversation or our manner of life in times past in the lust or the cravings of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." See? These verses 2 and 3 are the result of what we read in verse 1 of Ephesians 2, which is that we were dead in trespasses and sins. And what this refers to, and we're going to see it in a moment, that's why I wanted you to keep your ribbon here in Ephesians 2, it refers to the death that was brought about by Adam's transgression. See? And that death, we're going to see, by the time we're done, that death that it's speaking of is referring to the loss of spirit. So let's go to Romans chapter 5, but we're coming back here to Romans or Ephesians 2 eventually. But for now, we're going to go to Romans chapter 5. These are just some simple, basic truths. But so necessary to understand God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 12. I'm sorry, Romans 5, right. Although Ephesians 5 is really awesome. Verse 12 of Romans 5. "Wherefore, as by one man sin," or "by one man sin entered into the world." Now, in the Greek, or in the text, the article "the" is there. And it's sort of important to understand when we read this section of Romans 5. We're not going to read the whole chapter. But it should read here in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man the sin entered into the world. And the same thing here, it should read the death. By the sin. The death by the sin. Now we're going to see a little bit more about that in a few moments. But this is the death that was referred to in Ephesians 2, verse 1. We were all what? Dead in trespasses and sins. See? So, the death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, verse 14, the death, is how it should read, reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Okay? Which is, the similitude of Adam's transgression is simply referring to the direct disobedience to God. Who is the figure or the type of him that was to come. Okay? So Adam was a figure or the type of him that was to come. This is referring back to Genesis. When God made a promise, he made a vow. And you can read about that in Genesis 3:15. But for our purposes, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10. So this death passed upon all men. Let's start in verse 8. It says, but what says it? This is referring back to the righteousness of believing earlier in the chapter. What saith it? The word is nigh thee. Means it's near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. And that is the word of believing, faith or believing, which we preach. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now that word saved is fine. It's a good translation, but it's also means delivered. You're delivered. You're saved. For with the heart man believeth, or it is believed, unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? So, we are saved. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to John chapter 3, because Jesus Christ talked about this. Now, I want you to keep in mind where we've looked. Dead in trespasses and sin. The death that's being referred to is that death that was brought about by Adam. You know, God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? That's right. Yet Adam lived for a long time. Did God lie? No, God cannot lie. What was lost was spirit. That's right. And now we're going to get to this in a moment. Because when we understand this, volumes of God's word will begin to fit. It's really something, because this is the subject of God's word. The coming seed, the promised seed, Jesus Christ. That's the word subject. See? John chapter 3. And we're going to go to John chapter 3. So, we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus. We believe that God raised him from the dead. In John chapter 3, I want to show you this. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was likely a member of the Sanhedrin, that ruling group. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. That word again literally means from above. Born again or born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born a second time? I mean, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? It's kind of a stupid question. But he didn't understand what Jesus Christ was saying. He didn't understand. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now we see in the next verse exactly what this is referring to. That which is born of the what?
Flesh
is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. See? Isn't that something? Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Or born from above. Marvel not. You know, later on he says to Nicodemus, he says, you're a teacher, you're a ruler of Israel, and you don't know these things? You don't know? But Nicodemus didn't know. See, he didn't know. Isn't that something? So Jesus Christ is talking about being born of Spirit here. In Romans 10, we read being saved. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We believe that God raised from the dead. In Ephesians 2, it says we were born dead in what? Right. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Peter. Eventually, we're getting back to Ephesians. 1 Peter. And it's just wonderful to put these things together and to begin to understand some of this stuff. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, this is such a great section. Some of these sections we're reading, it's really hard to pick a verse to start with. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed. The word redeemed means to be bought back. You were not redeemed or bought back with corruptible things as silver and gold or money from your vain or useless conversation. The word conversation is just King's English for manner of living. Okay? You weren't bought back with money as silver and gold, but by or your useless conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith or your believing and hope might be in who? Might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. The King James, I don't know what version, some of you may have a different, but King James includes the words through the Spirit, which is not in the text. So it should read, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born from above or born again, not of corruptible seed. What birth would that be referring to? Your first birth. Right? That's what that's referring to. But of what?
Incorruptible
seed. Born from above. And the reason why it's to be born is because it's life. It's life. It's spirit. It is the Spirit of God. The more this begins to really click, the more this really begins to be understood, you will be amazed at the many, many, many times where the word life is used in the church epistles and is speaking of that life that Jesus Christ came to bring. which is spirit. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. See that? By the word of God. It's the word of God that makes known Christ. And it gives us the opportunity to believe on him so that we can receive that life from God, that life that was lost by Adam. Now, let's go back to Ephesians. But we're not quite to chapter 2 yet. We're going to go back to Ephesians, but it's going to be chapter 1. I want to read a couple verses there. Ephesians 1, and we're going to pick it up. In verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, or the gospel of your deliverance. And that gospel of deliverance is that gospel of Jesus Christ. See, it's regarding or referring to Jesus Christ. The gospel of your deliverance, in whom also after that you were believed, that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of what? A promise. Other translations handle this as that promised Holy Spirit. Okay? It's that which was promised. It's that which was to be looked forward to. That's what Jesus Christ came to bring. That's what he came to bring. Now, these things in mind, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And I don't even know if you have to flip a page. But we're going to start in verse 1 again. We'll just read this. It reads, "And you," it should read, "and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Some of us were pretty good students. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation or our manner of living in times past, in the lusts of the cravings of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." And that children of wrath means that's where we were headed. See? That's where all were headed. Even as others. But God, who is rich in what? In mercy. Isn't that great? "For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened." And that word quickened means to be made alive. That's what that means. We're made alive together with Christ. Now, I want to stop here just for a moment. This being made alive together with Christ is now. This is right now. Because of Spirit. Because of that life that we've received when we confess the Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. That's that new birth that was talked about in 1 Peter. And that was the birth that Jesus Christ referred to in John chapter 3. That's what turns us from death to life. See, when you read scriptures in the later epistles of John, 1st, 2nd John, "He that has a son has what? He that has not the son hath not what?" What life? Spirit. Eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? It's so wonderful. It's so simple when you understand this. See? We are made alive now. And that spirit, it's that which was promised. "And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ." Now, keep your finger here. We're coming right back. I promise. But I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Because this is speaking of now. In terms of our standing in terms of our authority, we are seated in the heavenlies. Are we literally in the heavenlies? We are not. That day will come. But Colossians chapter 1 talks about this. And then we're going to go right back to Ephesians 2. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 10. Let's start there. This is part of a prayer that is written here in Colossians. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That word worthy is the word axios. We get axis from it. And it means balance. It means to walk in balance, see, of the Lord, of your Lord, of who's called you. You walk in balance with that calling. That's what that's referring to. Anyway, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. This is a great verse. Strengthened with all might. Literally, it means empowered with power. With power. The word strengthened means empowered. It means to empower with power. Power according to his glorious power. And here's the goal or the end of that being empowered with power. This is awesome. You ready? Unto all what? Patience. That's something. And long suffering. That's what strength looks like. With what? Joyfulness. That's what strength looks like. Isn't that awesome? That was the prayer. That's part of walking in balance with who we are because of the life that we've received by God because we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us adequate. He's the one that did this. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who? Verse 13. Being delivered. Who hath delivered us from the power. The word power is a word that means authority. He's delivered us from the authority of what? Of darkness. And have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Isn't that awesome? He delivered us. It means he took us from here and put us here. We're looking at this in light of what it means to be made alive and seated in the heavenlies in Christ. We're no longer under the thumb of this age or of the God of this age, who's the adversary. We belong to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not by anything that we did, will do, nor is it anything that we do that can undo. To think that way is to belittle the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's to shove Jesus Christ off to the side, and determine in your heart that there's something you can do that's bigger than what he did. The greatness of what God has done speaks to the greatness and the depth of the sacrifices of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? When you begin to put this together. That's why Jesus Christ, it's so important to understand that Jesus Christ is the subject of God's word, not you. Not man's weakness. Not man's stupidity. Not man's helplessness. That's not the subject of God's word. We don't need a book to tell us that. Right? No. Jesus Christ is the subject of God's word. Let's go back to Ephesians 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 7. Oh, this is awesome. You know what? We're going to go back to Colossians in just a minute. Sorry. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. We saw how we've been delivered right now by that Spirit. But then verse 7 speaks to something in the future. That, here's the purpose. In the ages to come, he might show or exhibit or demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through or in Christ Jesus. Don't know what that looks like, but it's going to be awesome. That for all eternity, for the ages to come, God's going to demonstrate the riches of his grace in us. Isn't that something? In his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, Colossians 3 says, let's just read it. We're coming right back and we're going to finish. Colossians chapter 3.
Yeah.
Chapter 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ. We read about that in Ephesians, didn't we? Seated where? That's right. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above and not on things on the earth. This life is not the big deal. This life is not the end game. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And what this means is this, for you are dead, it's in the aorist in the Greek, and it's a one-time action. In other words, you died with Christ. That's what this is referring to in this verse. You died with him. When you believed on him, when he died, you died. When he got up, you what? You got up. See, and you were made alive and seated in the heavenlies in Christ. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Isn't that something? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. That's where our life is hid. See. Now, so let's go back to Ephesians 2 and finish that up. So you can see how verse 7 is referring to this time. You know, where God has placed us because of that Spirit, because we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by nothing that we do. And then verse 8 is in reference to what we have to look forward to as part of our hope because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Isn't that awesome? It's all Christ. Verse 9, I guess that's why I could say this. Well, let's read verse 8. We've got to read verse 8. For by grace are you saved through believing. Not of yourselves. See, it is the what? The gift of God. See? Once you tack on an addendum to that which Jesus Christ accomplished, you are saying, by your thinking and by your actions, it is no longer a gift. It is now something I have to work for. That would mean God's not telling the truth. And that is not the side of the ledger I prefer to be on. Right? It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should what? Because that's exactly what men do when it comes to works, isn't it? Ha! Right? It's all about how they look. It's all about what they do. It's all about what they do and you don't. See? That's what it becomes. And one of the saddest things I've ever seen is when you see Christianity, when you see saints, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, devolve into this kind of thinking, or it becomes about them and flesh. 4, verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto, or I should read upon good works. Whose good works? Jesus Christ's, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, it was upon his good works. Jesus Christ accomplished all that needed to be accomplished. That's why he could say, it is finished. It's done. The first recorded words of the Lord Jesus Christ was, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? The last recorded words of Jesus Christ were, it is finished. The work that God gave him to do so that you and I could have what we're reading here. Verse 11, I'm just going to read here. It's just kind of neat. Wherefore remember, and this is unusual in God's word, for God to direct us to past. It's sort of neat. Wherefore remember, you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, from the citizenship of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise. You were without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes or at one time were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This is referring to the temple, that wall that would separate the Judean from the Gentile. Gone. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hostility, even the law of commandments in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one. One new man. Referring to, it doesn't matter anymore. Judean, Gentile, makes no difference. All who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all who confess him as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, are part of this that we're reading. Background has nothing to do with it. You bring nothing to the table. Nothing. All you bring is your heart by confessing the Lord Jesus. Isn't that slick? Isn't that wonderful? You bring nothing to the table. And then it says, verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, referring to the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, referring to the Judeans. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's something. Now therefore, you are no more strangers. You might be strange, but you're not a stranger. And foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's something. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. These are beautiful figures of speech to draw this awesome picture. You know, referencing the temple. That wall. It's moved. Jesus Christ destroyed it. He dealt with the law. Gone. Gone. It's all Christ. It's just believing on him. And then you've got this beautiful figure. See, and you're built. You are built upon the foundation of the prophets, the apostles, those who spoke God's word, see, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Isn't that it? That's so awesome. You know, today the chief cornerstone is for show. You know, they take a picture, you know, eight guys with a shovel in their hand, right? The chief cornerstone that this is referring to, that is what the whole building came off of. That cornerstone set plumb, set level for the rest of the building. If that cornerstone was off, tilted, it messed the whole building up. That's right. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Isn't that something? He's the chief cornerstone of the foundation of the building of which we are a part of here, the household of God. Isn't that awesome? In whom all the building fitly framed together. That means perfectly fit together. Grows unto a holy temple or sanctuary in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the what? You know, I don't know. I don't know what more to say. It's like, you know, this is where God lives. You know, we went from death to this. And when you begin to understand some of these things, then, you know, you read words like, or read phrases that talk about the goodness of God. And you're just like, oh yeah. Yeah. Or grace. There's something to that. Mercy. All of these things that God's done in Christ. Isn't that awesome? And now we are part of the household. We're where God lives. See? The born again one's a church. Isn't that something? And there's a day coming. There's a day coming where we're going to be gathered together with our Lord Jesus Christ. See? And that's what we were saved unto. What we have now is just a deposit of what we've got coming at that time. So it's pretty awesome, isn't it? So let's give Jesus Christ a hand. Right? It's pretty great. So I'm going to pray.